And you mentioned how the Aryan path can refer to prior to the attaining of the Aryan path. When it talks about the Dhammanusarin and the Sadhanusarin, I think these can also include those close to being a Sotapanna, not just Sotapanna.
It has more explanation about each type.
Right. Yeah. More explanation, but it can be read a little more broadly, not just the moment of Sotapanna.
Everything is very refined, that it depends on consideration to know whether it includes or this covers what.
I know I've asked this before, more than once in fact, but in the factors of the Noble Eightfold Path, Sama Samadhi is defined in terms of the four jhanas. Can you just explain?
When we read one sutta, we know about the explanation,
right,
that it also talks about whatever it is, including samatha and vipassana and all, but it doesn't mean that it's only limited to that. For example, if we talk about the Eightfold Path one by one, and when we come to sammasamadhi, we don't talk about just the Eightfold Path, we talk about sammasamadhi of different levels.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The explanation, the commentaries are always like that.
I only mention it because it's quite a stumbling point for many people.
If they just read, lots of misunderstanding by one's own interpretation.
Yeah, well, not one's own, but outside generally.
The individual's understanding.
Yeah. I should try and find somewhere the commentary that gives the explanation, because I don't think I've ever seen it, and it might be helpful to
What about the Mahasatipatthana Sutta?
Yes, that's helpful, yeah.
Different type of citta at that moment, it's not jhana, it's
right.
Not apanasamadhi.
Sure, sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's what
that can support
to.
This
yeah.
To understand what is sammasamadhi.
Yeah.
And another question about Chula Sotapanna. So the Magganyana, we read, closes all doors of hell, of Appaya. So the Sotapanna will never be reborn in hell. Now, before we've discussed that even the Chula Sotapanna is one of assured destiny, so no more rebirth in hell. So in that case, why do they repeat again that the Sotapanna, no more rebirth in hell, because even the Chula
yes.
Sotapanna?
Those who come across Sotapanna will not be reborn in hell.
Mm-hmm.
What about the Chula Sotapanna? So it's said also that even Chula
Sotapanna will not be.
Yeah.
Okay. And then some people, in fact, I heard that the Burmese teachers say that what this means is the Chula Sotapanna will not be reborn in hell in the subsequent life only, but maybe later. Can be that Niyata Gatika only refers to the subsequent life. And before I gave the example which you had given of Jyotipala in the Jataka, how we read about subsequent rebirths in hell. And people always talk about the example of Jyotipala in Majjhima under Kassapa Buddha when he seemed to attain some
Vipassana
jnana. And you mentioned before in this context, oh, but Jyotipala, we can see in the text, rebirth in hell, and then you showed me the Jataka story. But what I hadn't realized was these are two different Jyotipalas.
I couldn't remember that.
Yes. So you mentioned in this example, well, we can see that the Chula Sotapanna doesn't have rebirth in hell, but Jyotipala, if he had attained Vipassana Jnana, but in the Jataka, one can see that Jyotipala is reborn in hell. And someone said to me, yes, but these are two different bodhisattvas, both called Jyotipala.
I didn't know that.
Right. So here, for example, there is the Jyotipala. This is from the Dictionary of Pali Proper Names. One is Jyotipala, who was the archer who became the ascetic referred to in the Sarabhanga Jataka, identical Jyotipala of the Indriya Jataka. And then Jyotipala, who was the Bodhisattva in the time of Kassapa Buddha, the friend of Gatikara. So someone referred me to these two different Jyotipalas.
Can you find it in the commentary? And Jataka?
I could find this in the Jataka, yes. So after the person pointed this out, I read the whole Jataka, and then I read this story from Majjhima, but I don't have the commentary to Majjhima, I have the commentary to the Jataka. It seems no connection between them,
the
two Jyotipalas. Yes. So then it's like the arguments all...
Okay. So you'd like to know the commentary of Majjhima Nikaya?
Yes, that would be interesting.
Oh, ไม่อยู่คุณคำปันไม่อยู่ฮะพรุ่งนี้มาใช่ไหมคะค่ะถ้าอย่างนั้นแน่ใจเลยว่าเขากลับพรุ่งนี
้ So I wondered afterwards, did I misunderstand you?
We have to wait for คุณคำปันthe one who knows partly, because I think that we have this...question
yes.
too.
Yes.
But we have read the Majjhima Nikaya.
Yes.
But I asked him to
check.
To,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very good to check.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because it's an important point mm-hmm. that comes up. Because in the Jataka there's no mention of any Sankarupeka Jnana or Analoma or no mention of insight. But in this one they seem to be...And your understanding is Chula Sotapanna, the assured destiny. It's not just the next life, but all lives from then on, the meaning.
Because I didn't find a place that said that Chula Sotapanna will not be born in the Abhaya next life. Otherwise, it's like the others.
Yes. Exactly. Nothing, yeah. Yes.
Anyone who is not Chula Sotapanna yes. is also there, not next life.
When we talk about how only the Sotapanna has perfected sila.
Five sila.
So I gave an example, I forget how the example came out, but I was talking about Punya in the Terigata. It said she had perfect sila, she'd learned all the three Pitakas under many previous Buddhas, but only became an arahant in her last life under the Buddha.So someone said to me, oh, but you're saying that only the Sotapanna has perfect sila, so she must have...
It does mean just that, absolutely.
It just means that life
yeah.
only?
Yeah. Because anyone can observe five precepts, mm. not just Sotapanna,
yes.
but not absolute.
Yes, yes. just for okay. that life.
She's saying the perfection in the previous lives is not absolute.
I see.
In other words, they can not break any precepts in those lives, but...the potential for breach of precept is still there.
Well, that's what I mean. So they're not breaking it for that life, but the potential is not eradicated. Okay. I'd mentioned that if it was in the case of the first story about Jyotipala and Majjhima, if it was Sankarupeka Jnana, then definitely it will lead to Magaviti. And someone wrote back and said, in the text it talks about the example of the crow and preliminary ones and...final ones, and it circles and comes back and this kind of thing. Do you have any comment about the simile of the crow?
The crow?
In the Visuddhimagga, for example, under Sankarupeka Jnana, it talks about the Jnana being like the crow and preliminary ones which circle around, and so it's not just one Sankarupeka Jnana.
Come back to what?
Fall back to...
Slide back. There could be moments of Sankarupeka Jnana rising and then maybe not for a long time or whatever. This was the point.
You mean that there can be the gap but never slide back?
The idea that people have is actually can slide back, but sometimes they say, oh, there's a gap, but other times they say slide back or...it has been developed and then later will arise again, because I'd said, okay, well, if it's insight at that level, I'm sure it will lead to enlightenment. But they gave the example of the crow.
The crow cannot understand anything.
I think we have to look at the Institute.
That's right, come back.
Is this the same thing about being reborn in lower realms?
It relates to that, yes,
yeah.
yes.It's the same discussion.
To what level of insight is attained?
So maybe not slide back, but still have a come up with very good.
No conditions to arise. And, and also, for example, about the Bodhisattva, we read that he has faith in true Dharma, established, firmly rooted, faith in the enlightenment of the Tathagatas.But isn't it only a Sotapanna who has really firm faith in the
Dharma?
You?
firm enough or not firm enough?
Not firm enough.
And when you know better and better, firmer and firmer?
Well, I would think that without development of some insights, maybe firm in this life, but in next life, maybe not
firm
enough.
So when it's insight, can it not be as better?
When it's insight, it must be firm. But if we're talking about the Bodhisattva before his last life, then I would say, how can it be firm?
It depends on one's accumulation.
So it could be even
as Bodhisattva, it's different from other body.
I think that has to be the answer to that one.
And it also depends on what we mean by firm, too. Firm of those who are not Sotapanna yet, and firm for those who have been Sotapanna already.
Firm for worldling, but as you say, maybe for the Bodhisattva it's different. So even though no insight, there is unshakable
faith. His firm is not as firm as Sotapanna, as Bodhisattva. That's why realities are so very, very various. Each moment, we cannot set anything to be this or that only.
Talking about sadha and next life, as Sarah just was, and we know that in this life, before we heard the Dhamma, so much wrong view, strong wrong view, conditioning, so much unwholesome karma to be done. So there's no reason why next life couldn't be the same.
But you see that, are you sure that before this you had very much of wrong view? Maybe no view at all, just live. No thinking about life or permanent or impermanent. But I think that usually we think about impermanence because we see the change of things.
You said maybe no view. Are there any beings that have no view?
Sure.
Don't most people go around without any particular views about Dhammas, realities?
They don't even talk to such things.
I suppose there are a few of those.
And here's another quote from the Acharya Pitaka about the Bodhisattva. Then he should develop wisdom born of reflection, chinta maya panya, by first reflecting on the specific nature of the phenomena such as the aggregates, and then arousing reflective acquiescence in them. Next he should perfect the preliminary portion of the wisdom, pūba, bhāga, bhāvana, panya, by developing the mundane kinds of full understanding through the discernment of the specific and general characteristics of the aggregates. And at the bottom it said, here insight vipassana should be developed only as far as purification by knowledge and vision of the way, without attaining purification and purification by knowledge and vision. So this is referring to bodhisattvas, that seems to be referring to insights, unless it's referring to insights in the last life. Is that what you would?
You mean his last life?
In his last life.
Because what it's about?
Well, it seems to be referring to the knowledge of the bodhisattva, and this is under panya parami. And it seems to be referring to the knowledge up to stage of purification of knowledge and vision of the way. So it's saying that vipassana should only be developed until this stage.
Before this life or in this life?
Well, it doesn't make it clear. So of course, I suppose one could say the perfection of the parami is only just prior to enlightenment. But usually under the paramis, when it's referring to the bodhisattva, it's referring to the previous lives, I thought. Is that correct? Up to the last life.
If it's so, when and where he had stages of vipassana before becoming enlightened?
Just immediately before, I would have thought. But
yes, but if he had before.
Yes.
Then when,
when and where.
Yes. So it doesn't mean necessarily has to be the prior.
Otherwise he would say about his life, when was the vipassana yana, at what level.
So you mean it can be referring to just before?
By the perfection of the parami, yeah.
Also, when we talk about the perfection of the paramis, sometimes we read in various jatakas, like the Vasantra Jataka, about the perfection of Dana Parami, and in other ones the perfection of other paramis. But can we not say that they are only perfected at the moment of enlightenment? Is that not right?
You mean perfected before this life?
Well, I've read that, for example, in the Vasantara Jataka, that the perfection of Dana was perfected in that life. But can we really say it was perfected in that life or only at the moment of becoming enlightened?
It can be different level again, even by means of perfected, because he didn't have to do anything else more than that.
So what does it mean, different levels of perfection?
Before becoming enlightened.
Yes.
And when the moment of becoming enlightened. So very various moment for everyone.
So are we saying that because not all latent tendencies had been eradicated in the previous lifetime, so there was still obviously some potential for agusala conduct, but in terms of the development of the gusala, that is dana, everything had been done?
Can we say that it's perfected for the enlightenment, which is the absolute or highest perfection? If it's not perfected, then he had to do something else more,
yes,
in order to be perfected.
Yeah.
Yes. So perfected in the sense that everything that needed to be done was done, but actually there's a higher
ready
perfection
for
ready for the
Lokutra.
But then, for example, the arahant who is not a Buddha, say the average arahant, has not perfected
of that level.
Of that level. Yeah, he is
perfected for being Savaka Parami.
Right.
And what about development of Parami?
Would we say that right now we all have Parami some degree?
No, because at sometimes I've heard you say that it is developed along with Satipatthana. That is, without knowing the moment of Kusala as just a Dhamma, it is just...
So it's not Satipatthana?
There can be Dana by habit, which is then not the development of Dana Parami, if we give out of habit, without understanding.
You mean that no understanding of reality at all?
Yes.
But when there is the understanding, what everyone is doing, cannot it be Parami?
It would be Parami. But what about in the case of the Buddha, during lives when he hadn't heard the teachings, how did his get developed?
His nature of Bodhisattva.
And what about Savaka?
As Savaka.
But also it can be developed without... Mm-hmm.
Like now, who will be Savaka in the future lives? And this moment can be Parami.
So,
Virya now, Kanti now.
Right, but exactly how is it? Because I've heard you say at one time that it is Parami of Parami, when there's no understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a development?
For example, when we give without expectation.
Oh, that I assume is what the Bodhisattva, that kind of development, when he developed all the paramis, even without hearing the teachings, because he wasn't thinking about himself, he was thinking about others. But what about the Savaka? What about us now?
Same. No expectation.
So Savaka, Bodhisattva, what does it mean exactly?
The Savaka, not the Sammasambuddha.
So we could, in that sense, refer to anyone following the path as a Bodhisattva.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or is there some appreciation of the danger of kilesas and doing good?
I think that it's one's nature. We don't have to think before we give. But the way one gives, with the motivation of not expecting anything.
And when we read, for example, in the Vasudhi Marga about the six kinds of inclinations, Ajasaya, leading to the maturity of enlightenment of Bodhisattvas, the inclination to non-greed, Bodhisattvas see the fault in greed, and so on. Are these inclinations similar to paramis?
Do we have to know exactly whether this is or this is not?
Not.
Yeah.
Or can we just say it's referring
to all combined?
This was actually a question that Christine asked on the list, whether these six inclinations or Ajasaya, whether they relate to the perfections, to the paramis. And the six are the inclination to non-greed, Bodhisattvas see the fault in greed, the inclination to non-hate, Bodhisattvas see the fault in hate, the inclination to non-delusion, bodhisattvas see the fault in delusion, inclination to renunciation, bodhisattvas see the fault in house life, inclination to seclusion, bodhisattvas see the fault in society, inclination to relinquishment, bodhisattvas see the fault in all kinds of becoming and destiny. And actually in this section it refers to Savaka bodhisattvas as well. So the question was whether they relate to the perfections, to the paramis, and one person said yes and one person said no.
And to quote from where?
Visuddhimagga.
My note.
So can some
ingredients
overlap or
to become a Sotapanna?
So when the Mahayana schools say anyone can be a bodhisattva, it's actually correct then, because we can refer to anyone on the path as being a Savaka bodhisattva.
But who knows whether the person would be Savaka or Pajjeka Buddha?
But the Mahayana, they refer to enlightening everyone else, which is different. The Buddha, yeah, which is different.
I know you give a lot of emphasis to development of the Bharami, but it's something that I don't find easy to understand, I guess, because...
What about Bharami is goodness?
Yes.
Any kind of goodness, yeah? We have come across the Samutta Thera, the monk who was become enlightened while he was going around with his bowl, and he was invited by a woman up to the seventh floor. There are two from different texts like this, but it's not this one, that is another one.
I see. Yes.
But the place is opposite, like this one was born in Savatthi and became enlightened somewhere, and that one was born where and becoming. Same name.
Same name. So you think
same
place,
same story.
Yeah.
So it's like this.
You think, how come their details are a bit different, and then you find out it's a different one. Yes.
But I don't know, because the story is exactly the same. And the place is like Savatthi and something, Paranasi.
Both places the same.
But the birthplace is different.
So you read, Bodhisattva Jyotipala, you just assume it is the same.
No, we don't know. No. We have to find out more. It's like this, whether one or two.
Two, yes.
With the same name, but different birthplace.
Yeah.
One was born here and enlightened there. The other was born here and enlightened there.
Yes.
It's beyond our imagination to just think.
This text, I think you have it in your library. It's a thick book called Dictionary of Pali Proper Names.
Yes,
it's very useful,
actually.
Yes. The one that you mentioned, what is the name?
Suntara Samutta Thera.
He once went to Savatthi, where he stayed with a friend learning how to practice insight. On a festival day, his mother thought of him and wept, seeing the sons of other families enjoying themselves with their wives. A courtesan offered to entice him back, and the mother promised that should she succeed, she would make her Samudra's wife and give her many gifts. The courtesan went, well attended, to Savatthi and took lodgings in a house to which Samudra frequently came for alms. She saw that he was well seen to and showed herself to him, decked and adorned and wearing golden slippers. One day, slipping off her sandals at the door, she saluted him with clasped hands as he passed, and invited him in a seductive manner. Then the Thera, realizing that the heart of a worldling is unsteady, made then and there supreme effort and attained arahatship. According to the Dhammapada commentary, Samudra accepted the invitation of the courtesan and went with her to the top floor of her seven-storied house. There she provided him with a seat and practiced her wiles. Samudra suddenly realized what he was doing and was much distressed. The Buddha, seated in Jetavana, 45 leagues away, saw what was happening and smiled. On being asked by Ananda why he smiled, he said, a battle royal is being waged between Sundara Samudra and a courtesan, but Samudra will win. So saying, he sent forth a ray of light to Samudra and preached to him. At the end of the sermon, Samudra became an arahant. This other one, obviously, was similar. This one is in the Terigata, in the Terigata commentary, and then also in the Dhammapada commentary. And the first one is in the Vinaya.